your worship is vain and empty, and you teach others to observe merely human precepts. You deny the very commandments of God, and yet you hold tightly to human doctrine. Then Jesus turned to the crowd that was around him, and he said to them, "Now listen to this carefully. Pay attention. There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside that makes that person unclean. It is what comes out of a person that makes that person unclean. So if you have ears to hear, listen to this. It is what comes out of a person that makes them unclean. Evil desires come out of the human heart. Theft, murder, adultery, jealousy, greed. Slander, pride, foolishness, indecency, deceit. All of these emerge from within a person. And all these evils render a person unclean." The Gospel of the Lord. The desire on the part of the people of Israel in their living their faith was that they might become holy. They might become like God. They might reflect in their actions and in their attitudes the very image of the divine, in which image they had been made. The great commandment of God was, love the Lord God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as the years and the decades and the centuries moved on, the people developed laws, practices, that were meant to help them love God and love their neighbor, to help them be holy. These were human laws, these were human practices. Now, a law is an ordinance of right reason. The purpose of a law is to make a principle or a value or a truth clear and to allow a people to embrace that truth and to live that truth strongly. A law is to be reasonable. It is to accomplish that end. And if it doesn't, if it's not reasonable, if it doesn't allow the people to become more and more bound to a truth or a value, then it's a bad law. Well, what happened in time is that all of these laws that were established initially to help the people live more strongly their life of faith, all of those laws began to have a life of their own. And very soon they were separated from the truth or the value that they were created to enhance. not to the value or the truth for which the law was created. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees and to the teachers of the law who come up out of Jerusalem, he says to them, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And your worship is vain and empty because you hold merely human precepts. And you ignore the commandments of God." Well, what Jesus challenges his hearers about is a challenge that faces all of us. It affects not only life within a church community, but it affects life within a family, life within a classroom, life in the workplace. There are rules in all of those places. But one must understand the value or the truth that that rule is meant to help advance. And if that rule doesn't advance that truth or that value, then that rule is not good. It's not doing its job. It's not effecting what it was meant to do. And rules and laws can become multiple. They can be just piled on one another. We have rules in the family, in the workplace, in church, in the classroom, about good order. You know, so that there isn't chaos all over the place. Sometimes those rules can become very picky and they lose their value. A number of years ago, I spent some time in the Middle East, and when I was in Egypt, I was staying in a hotel right next to a Coptic church. Now, Egypt is a predominantly Muslim country, and there are very few Christian churches. And so I decided to attend church at this Coptic church, this Christian church. Now, I didn't understand the language, and certainly the ceremony was very foreign to me. The church was a long, narrow building, and in place of chairs or pews, there were just wooden benches, not unlike you would have at a picnic table. Yet in the back, there was a break so that you could lean against the back of the bench. There were ushers in this church, and I found it curious. They ushered people to where they were to sit. And the women sat on one side, and the men sat on another. The ushers carried a stick in their hand, a long rod. And when Mass started, and the servers and the priests came into the sanctuary, the ushers lined up in the back here. And they kept an eye on the congregation. And their job was to maintain good order. I only found that out later. Well, at one point, as the priest was preaching the sermon, and I didn't understand a word of what he was saying, I leaned back in my seat, and I crossed my legs. And one of these guys from the back ran down to me and slapped me across the shins with his stick. Let me know that you don't cross your legs in church. Well, that was the end of my prayer for that day. I don't know if that rule advanced the value. Value is to have people orderly, people prayerful, people participating. I don't know if slapping you across the shins makes that work. For those of you who grew up as Catholics before the Second Vatican Council, when the
Latin Mass was the norm. There were many, many rules. There were literally dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of rules about what the priest should do at Mass. Sometimes he was to make one sign of the cross, sometimes three signs of the cross. Sometimes he was to bow knees from his waist, and other times he was to bow only from his shoulders and his neck. He was to lift the host only so high, and he was to lift the chalice only so high. He was to keep his fingers, his thumb and his index finger together. When he prayed, his hands were to be extended, but there was a rule about how many inches those hands were to be one from another. There were lots of rules. Well, during the last century, there was a great spiritual writer, Louis Bouillet, a Frenchman. Well, Louis is still alive, Louis is in his 90s, although he is suffering from advanced Alzheimer's. I had the privilege, 45 years ago, to study for 3 semesters under Louis Bouillet. Louis was a convert to Catholicism. He grew up as a French Protestant, and after he graduated from college, he was drawn into the faith, and he became a Catholic. And then sometime later, he discerned that he was really called to the religious life, and so he entered the Society of the Oratory, and he was ordained a priest. And he lived out his life as a teacher. Well, Louis told his students one day that while he was preparing to be ordained a priest, he had to learn how to say Mass, and he had to learn all the rules. And as he was practicing saying Mass, one of his teachers stood there and checked off which rules he observed and which rules he didn't, so that he could get a score on it and have to go back and study again. Well, about halfway through the practice, Louis brought his hands down on the table, slapped them hard, and said, "Stop! I can't do this anymore. I can't pray like this." His teacher said to him, "Louis, you're saying Mass. This is no time to pray." Rules didn't exactly advance the values. Now the value, Jesus says, is the value of living out the command of God. Love the Lord God with mind and heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's in the second reading that St. James tells us what pure and undefiled religion is. To care for the widow and the orphan in their distress, and to keep yourself free of the allurements of the world. And that the rules, the laws, ought to support that, ought to make that possible, ought to help that become ever more a part and parcel of a person's life. The rules and the laws, if they're to do what they're supposed to do, should lift up and make more obvious the truth of God's command. Now, Jesus tells us at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel his take on the command. "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you stood by me. For whenever you did it to one of these least, you did it to me. Well, that's pure religion on the heart. And the rules and the laws, if they are good, are meant to help you and me live those values strongly, deeply, powerfully. And in so doing, to reflect the compassionate face of God, in whose image we all have been made. So as we come to the altar, we are asked to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are called to worship God in a way that reflects the command of God, the life that God has brought to us, the life that God called us. It's in that spirit that